this morning. I've got a test for us. School's just out, so in honor of that, here's your test. You don't have to write anything down, but use your fingers. What I want you to do is, in your head, don't do it out loud, but list the Ten Commandments on, and just mark them down on your finger. In order, the Ten Commandments. Let's do that real quick. Oh, in order, yes. That would be ten, in order. Okay, you just either totally rebelling or you're like me. And sometimes just even things that are very important to us, things that are very crucial to our faith, sometimes they just seem so many that we can't keep up with them. Isn't that right? So today, what we're going to look at is one simple instruction that's made a world of difference in my life. I didn't want to make you feel bad about the Ten Commandment thing. I would be squirming if I was out there, embarrassingly enough. And so you will not be asked to report on that. But I do want you to know that sometimes what we have to do is reduce things down to one thing that will that we can act on, that can make a huge difference in our lives and our families. And so I want to share with you one simple instruction that's made a world of difference in my own immediate family. And when we follow this one instruction, basically when I follow this one instruction, it becomes the sweetest moments of the day for my family. And that's actually the title of our sermon today, The Sweetest Moments of the Day. But when I don't do this one instruction, this one thing, it results in my whole family feeling sick and frustrated and angry. This one thing. Pull up the first picture if you can. This is a picture of, okay, some of you may have seen this a long time ago, but this is Curly and Mitch. Yeah, it's over here. It's from the movie City Slickers, and they're out rounding up some cattle, and Curly's played by Jack Palance, an old, rough codger of a cowboy. He gets out there with Mitch, and show the next slide, please. He raises up one finger and says, do you know what the secret of life is? And Curly says, he holds up one finger, this. And then Mitch, Billy Crystal, says, your finger? And then Curly says, one thing, just one thing. Mitch says, but what is the one thing? Then Curly smiles and says, that's what you have to find out. One thing. Well, the one thing we're going to talk about today is not the most important thing in the Bible, but it is an important one thing that creates these sweet moments today in my family, and I hope it will do the same for yours. Now, here's the thing. If we do follow this one instruction, here's some of the things that will happen. We'll have happier marriages, happier kids. Oh, you could take Jack Palance off the screen. He's intimidating. happiness. Happier kids, a happier work setting, and a happier church. If we don't follow this one simple instruction, it can lead to these things. Divorce or bitterness between spouses. Rebellious kids. Pain at work. And divided churches. This one thing. The secret to the one thing for having the sweetest moment of the day is found in Ephesians 4:6. In the context, I'm not going to go through the whole chapter, but this is a wonderful chapter where Paul's insisting that believers no longer live as unbelievers do in their futile thinking, darkened understanding. It's this chapter where he talks about putting off the old way of life and putting on the new way, having a new attitude in our minds. And then in 4:26, he comes down to this and he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Just a few verses later, I'm going to read a couple of more verses because we're going to come back to it. I just want it to kind of be in your mind. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. But if we go back to that verse 26, in your anger don't sin, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Well, this one verse is really talking about this same issue from three different angles. First, in your anger don't sin. Well, for today's message, I'm going to assume that we've already failed on that one. That's going to be our starting point because of in my life, far too often, that's the case. So let's assume, for the sake of our message and the rest of the things that we're going to look at, assume we've either injured others with our words, our attitudes, or our actions, or they've done that to us, and specifically in our families. So we're going to focus on the other two things. The second thing is don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and then don't give the devil a foothold. Let's start with this foothold business first. We're not going to go into a lengthy time about that, but it's very important. Show the next image, if you will. Back to the camel image. I think it's one right before that. There we go. How many of y'all remember that game? Oh, maybe it stopped being sold 40 years ago when I was little. Anyway, it was called The Last Straw. And if you look at it, there's this camel, and when enough weight gets put in the baskets, his back breaks. You know, the straw that broke the camel's back is the idea behind the game. So you take these sticks of different weights, and you put them in the bags along the side of the camel, and hoping that it'll get right up to the edge where the next person who puts one in, it's going to break the camel's back. And it kind of buckles like that. So it was called The Last Straw. The reason I bring that up is a lot of times what we do is we act like we're playing that game with the important people in our life. And this is what creates footholds in our families and those that we love. When we ignore the instruction that we talked about, not letting the sun go down while you're still angry, it's like we're adding sticks to the camel's back. When we delay making things right, you answer this. When we put off making things right because it's hard, it's awkward, it's uncomfortable, it's because I'm just angry and I don't want to, does that make it easier to do later or harder to do later? You tell me. It makes it harder. That's what you've told me, is it makes it harder to do later. So everything is working against us at this point. Everything's working at us, holding on, building that up, adding those sticks, and there's the only thing really working for us to deal with that is the Spirit of God in our life. Because everything else from outside, our enemy, the devil, the way the world's done, just our hurt feelings, our own flesh, everything's working against us, but the Spirit of God's saying, stop. Don't let the sun go down till you've dealt with this. Don't delay. Don't put it off. And it's very, very important. What happens? By letting this infection of anger slip in and go into that time of sleep. Now, I'm thinking specifically of my daughters and my children. I've got a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old. And when we go to sleep, all those feelings and things that we go on with, those don't go to sleep. Those keep churning. Those keep boiling and going over and over in our mind and our heart and our soul. And what does it do to the person that happens with? Whether it's our child or whether it's our spouse or whether it's us or whether it's you towards the church or leaders in the church towards you. Whenever in any of those settings where we let that go on, when we go to sleep, the devil wakes up and goes to work trying to create a foothold of setting that in concrete in our souls. That sleep time is very important, and very important that we enter into that time, like God says, by taking action on this. It's like a gangrene in our relationships. We're infected, but we put it off. We're not going to deal with it, so that the poison just starts spreading, festering, and becoming something that can actually destroy the family. So it creates a foothold in you, the parent. It creates bitterness, a desire for punishment, not just a desire to see things happen, but a desire to punish that child for what they did, for how they hurt me. It creates overreaction for us as parents to that child. It creates a foothold in the child, resentment, anti-blessing. It creates a lack of respect and a lack of influence in their souls for us. Between spouses, it's a bizarre thing, but so many of us have experienced it, and so many of us, those close to us, how in sometimes a very short time we can go from, you know, standing before people making vows to love, honor, and obey to shortly later, you know, I want a divorce. How does that happen? This is how it happens. This is how it happens. Divorce is just the product of result. That anger is that catalyst, the cause, the thing that cancerous thing that starts to grow inside that relationship. I have very few of my uncles are still alive. Well, one, but two of these uncles on my mom's side, I love them both. They're great guys, enjoy them, but something happened and they became angry at each other and they didn't deal with it. And it was years and years, maybe decades, where they were just angry, bitter with each other because they never dealt with that. It sucks the joy in life out of our relationships. Those closest to the relationships that really matter most are the ones that are affected most by this, isn't it? Isn't it? Well, we don't need this to happen. Again, we're not going to spend any more time on this foothold idea other than to say that when we don't respond in the timely manner given in this scripture, the going down of the sun, when we set ourselves and our families up for disaster, we sabotage our own families, the people we love the most. We do that when we don't follow this instruction. So it all comes down to this instruction about not letting the sun go down on our anger. And there are a few parts of that. We're going to kind of break it down just for our own thinking. You know, what do we have to do, the manner that we do it, and how often do we have to do it? Let's look at what do we have to do. What does it mean to not let the sun go down on our anger? Just a few verses later, it's the same flow of thought from the writer in Scripture. In Ephesians 4:30, he says this: do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of these things, all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, the kind of things we're talking about. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. To not let the sun go down on your anger, we have to forgive. We have to forgive. In Colossians 3:13, it talks about this. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance of them, forgive as the Lord forgave you. In the same manner that God has forgiven us, that's how we are to forgive each other. Bear with each other. We don't like to bear with each other on anything. It puts the weight on me. I have to go through something unpleasant to get to this pleasant place. It words it a little bit different in another translation. It says, make allowance for each other's faults. Well, I don't want to make allowance for each other's faults. Nothing in us wants to. But that's what we have to do. And forgive anyone who offends you. But what if they don't ask forgiveness? And I have to talk about that. Forgive anyone who offends you. And here's the key. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. We cannot go through that smoke screen of unpleasant things that we think is impossible to get to that good place unless we first remember this is the same basis that we've been forgiven on. As God forgave us. Matthew 6:14 to 15. Right after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says this. It's right on the heels of it. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, and I'm not going to try to make this comfortable for our theology. Let's just hear what it says. But, if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know all that that means. But I'm kind of scared and uncomfortable with whatever it means. Okay? If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So God tells us not just what to do, but he says the manner in which to do it. And this is also here in the same chapter of Ephesians. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Do it out of kindness and tenderheartedness to each other. That's the manner in which it's done. See, we can forgive others because God has forgiven us. The inexcusable sin is forgivable. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I could tell. And don't raise your hand. Do you have the inexcusable sins that you've committed to others? There's no excuse for it. There's no sense in it. It made no sense. But you just did. You hurt for hurting's sake. See, I can raise my hand for that. I'm not going to ask you to. But I can. We can forgive the inexcusable in others because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. Again, I'm not going to ask you to raise it. Any of y'all incessant sinners? Same sin over and over and over and over and over and over. Like the Energizer Bunny, sin, 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 sin. Same thing over and over. Don't raise your hand. I can raise mine. God forgives the incessant sin. We can forgive the incessant sins, the repeated sins that don't make sense in others. We can do it for them because he did it for us. But only when we remember where we stand. I love the author C.S. Lewis. I was reading some things about this whole idea of forgiveness, and he wrote something that I thought was helpful for me. Hopefully it will be for you too. He says, very often what God helps us towards is not the virtue itself, but just this power of always trying again. It cures us of illusions about ourselves and teaches us to depend on God, both for the ability to have victory and forgiveness when we do not. With my daughters, I always want to run right to the end game. Look, I've told you this. We've dealt with this issue. Why is this still happening? Well, that's not how God deals with me. But I think it's much more like what C.S. Lewis says. It's not that he takes us directly to the virtue, to the thing to be done, but that process of always returning to him. There's something good in the process of having to come before God over and over and over again to bring our sin before him, to ask him for that forgiveness. There's a perspective it gives our souls about ourselves, and then helps us as we deal with others. This work of forgiveness is done over and over again. He brought up this illustration, somebody said, you've given up smoking once, I've given it up a dozen times. Well, that's kind of how it is. We have to continue going back to it. We can't surrender to our weakness. We can't surrender to our failures in it and say, well, I just can't. No, that's where the enemy wants to take us. That's not where our Father wants to take us. Angry people can forgive. An angry God can forgive. An angry spouse can forgive. An angry parent can forgive. An angry child can forgive. We can. In Romans 12:18, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do your part. Do your part. As parents, now this is specifically for parents, we're in a unique position in this whole parent-child relationship thing. We're in the position of power. So the initiative really has to be ours if it's to happen at all. It makes no sense to put the weight of the responsibility on the child who's in the weaker position in this relationship to take the initiative to fix things. They're in a lower place in the whole power scheme of things. They're in a lower place as far as their maturity, their understanding of things, their understanding of life, their life experience. They're not in the position to take the initiative. We, on the other hand, as parents, specifically, as fathers, specifically, as men, we have to be the ones to take the initiative for this whole process to get us to the sweetest moment of the day in our family. This is our responsibility. We can't pass this buck on to the others in our family. It's not theirs. It is our first place because we are in that first place in our family. Well, how often do we have to do it? Don't let the sun go down and still be in this circumstance. How often is that? Answer, go ahead and tell me. This is an easy answer. Okay. Every day. I love how he did it. He didn't even say every day. He said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. It's almost like waiting for the vampires to come out. You know, as the sun's going down, don't look up. Right as it goes down past the brink, all the bad stuff comes out, right? Well, it does in our souls, too. You know, don't let that sun go down till we've dealt with this, till we've nipped it in the bud, till we've knocked the feet out from under the enemy on his ability to ruin our lives, to ruin our families. What's he come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. This is where he does it in our families. This is where he does it. We have to be as relentless in protecting our families as we are incessant in wounding each other's hearts and souls. The one, we come by naturally. The other, we have to depend on God to do it. Well, let's look at what happens when we let things smolder. Bring up the next image for us. This was from, this image is from the news from June 6th of this month. So this is very current. So what happens is, what happens with these wildfires is often very similar to what happens in our souls and in our families. When we let things smolder, well, we think it's not a big, huge blaze when we go to bed or that first day. Maybe it's just some embers left there. But when the flame is not put completely out and it's left to simmer, to smolder, a breeze, a spark catches the tinder on fire. That feeds other things. It's still not dealt with. We postpone it. It gets out of control. Our families, our homes are destroyed. It did not begin a wildfire. It began when one day we decided not to follow this instruction about letting the sun go down on our anger. We ignored it. We defied it. We just said, I'm not going to have it. It hurt too much. I'm too angry. And so we let these things happen. But it's not buildings that can be replaced. It's not forests that will regrow. It's the hearts of those that we love the most in this world. It's the thing that creates the damage that will hurt you most in this life. What happens in these relationships? Here's how I see it in my family, and maybe it'll help you see what happens. When the last stick is put in that camel, here's what it looks like with me and my wife. Sorry, Becky. It's like a cold front blows in. I love the fall. I love the first cold fronts that come in, that cool air that blows in, but I don't like it when it's happening in my house, and I see my wife's eyes avert to the side, and I feel that cold, chilly wind has come into the house. It's not because of something she did. It's something I've produced in her. Or it's when you look in your children's eyes and I see it happen live, like it's live streaming. I can see it happen live sometimes in the eyes of my daughters. It's like a light goes out in their eyes. Something happens inside in their soul that I can see visibly in their eyes. When I push things, when I add that last stick on the side of that camel, this happens, and there's a light that goes out. I don't know how it looks in your family. Maybe that's not how it plays out in yours, but I can physically feel it, and I can physically see it when that happens in my family. And when that does, it is not going to do them me, our family, anyone, any good to delay, to put off, to think, well, it'll just get better, because it just won't. Do not let the sun go down on that. Don't close your eyes to sleep till you've dealt with that. Don't let your spouse or your child go to sleep with that smoldering in their hearts. They say, well, here's the opportunity. It's a special opportunity when we tuck our girls in bed. See, all of this was to bring us to this moment. What's the sweetest moment of the day in my family? It's when we're tucking the girls into bed, right at the end of the day. All the rush of the day, it's almost like you're sitting on the edge of the lake, the wind's been blowing, you couldn't go out fishing because the wind was blowing so much. Then right at the end of the day, it's like the calm settles in, the lake kind of goes placid, and there's this window. There's this peaceful, calm window of opportunity that happens. In my family, it says we're tucking our girls in bed right before they go to sleep. It's a wonderful opportunity to get things right. And again, my girls are 12 and 14, but we still tuck them in. Sometimes we read, sometimes we sing, sometimes we pray, sometimes we talk. But in my family, God's used this as a time to work in my heart and in theirs. As much mine as theirs, I get a chance to calm down. I get a chance to get my brain screwed on right, my heart, get the briars pulled out of it enough to deal with things. And their souls are in a receptive place at that time of the day. So it's an opportunity to bless them, to tell them and God how much they mean to us. Here's some of the things we do. During the day, my words, my attitudes, my things can crush, they can lash, they cut, they wound way too often. But at this moment, at this little calm place, this calm part in the day, my words can now do these things. They can heal, they can restore, they can bless, they can forgive, express forgiveness, and they can also ask for forgiveness. It's like during the day, through the heat of things that happen, our people's souls get kind of molten. And at this point in the day, it's like you're able to set a mold that's going to be poured into as it solidifies through the night. So here at this point in the day, is this tucking in time, this right before sleep time. And it's not a calculated thing that we do, but it's just become this. It's an opportunity to kind of set the mold for where their hearts can kind of gel into, the shape it can take. It's also the opportunity for me to play the part of the man, taking ownership of my own actions, setting an example for my girls of how to deal with relational failure, with the screw-ups that happen, that will happen, continue to happen, that need to be rectified before the sun goes down every day. They have to see that in me for them to do that in their families, in their friendships, in their relationships. You've heard it said, or you've said it yourself, let's see, finish the sentence. Making up is hard to do. Some people say making up is fun to do. Have y'all ever heard that? Making up is fun to do. Okay, you probably experienced that, haven't you? The making up is the fun part, not the but the after part, the aftertaste, that thing. It may not be fun to get there, to go through that, but it definitely results in good things for our families, and it leaves a sweet fragrance or taste at the end of the day when we push through to that place. It's kind of like lifting weights. I used to do that. Can't tell now. No comments. Thank you. But just when muscles torn down through lifting the weights, through the struggles we go through with the day, I mean, our muscles are wounded through that. They're torn by that. But as they heal, as they recuperate, they become what? They become stronger. In our relationships, in our families, the things that have the potential to ruin, destroy, tear apart our families also have the potential, if we respond like it says here and allow, when we set the stage for that healing to take place by not letting the sun go down on our anger, when that takes place, our families can often become stronger. My relationship with my daughters is stronger after, right now, than before when we didn't ever go through any of those things. That's not good. It's not good that I put us through any of those things. I'm not saying that at all. But when we make the full circle that God has for us, it's stronger. How many of you, and I'll let you raise your hands on this one, if you want to. Or you can elbow your spouse if you want to, too. Kind of a free-for-all right now. How many of you have gone through hard things, hurtful, painful things with your spouse only to end up stronger, united in a stronger way because you overcame those things, powered through those things? How many of y'all would say, I'm stronger, we're stronger on the other end? Now, you may not be on the other end yet. That means you have this work to do, okay? But at least three of us in this room have had that experience. But that can be our experience. It can be. And my hope is, for my family, that's what it will be. And will continue to be. And my hope is it will also be the same for you. So here's where it is. We have to check the anger in our families. We have to deal with that. We have to facilitate forgiveness with kindness and tenderness. And we have to do it daily. And there's a sweet spot in the day, right at the end of the day, where if you haven't done it, it's a great time for that to happen. It's a great time for that to happen. In your anger, do not sin. If we could stop there, that's the best part. But if you do, in your anger you do sin, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. You know, my invitation for you, especially for you men in this room, give an eyeball to all the men in the room, because I have to look at my own self in the mirror, so you got to get it too. For each one of us, is we have to own this for our families. Because I don't know if your family's like my family, but my family, the source of most of the anger in my family is not my daughters, and it's not my wife, it's me. I don't know if it's true, but I have this sneaking suspicion that most men, I'm going to say most men because I don't like to be isolated by myself, that most men have an issue with anger in their hearts, in their lives. That we have this easy-to-trip switch called anger in us. And that puts it back on our shoulders to be the ones to deal with. And even if it's not, it's still on our shoulders because of our position that God has given us in our families, that God has given us as men in our churches, that God has given us as men in the places where we work, as Christian men in the places where we work. To own this, to take this on our shoulders and to deal with, so God's good stuff can happen. And the devil will not get a foothold in any of those places. Now, women, you do the part you can, but men, this is ours. This is on our plate. So take the initiative. Allow God to put this magic to work in your family between you and your children and your spouse. Forget the matter of their age. And recognize the need in their souls for this to happen. It's not a matter of age. Tucking in, call it something else if it makes it easier to act on. But do that thing, regardless of the ages. The alternative, if we don't, we grieve the Spirit of God. We sabotage and bring grief to our families. And we do not enter into our strength as men. And for women, you don't enter into your beauty as women. An angry woman is not a beautiful woman. An angry man is not a man of strength. He's reckless. Okay? Men enter your strength at this point. Women enter into your beauty at this point. And you women, I got the sneaking suspicion thing. The flip side of my sneaking suspicion is that God has placed in you as women some kind of special bucket of water to pour on that smoldering spot in the men's hearts that are in your lives. Sneaking suspicion. Not God says, just a sneaking suspicion. But I've seen my wife do it artfully. I've seen my daughters do it artfully with me, even though it's not their role to be. I've seen a mother do it artfully. It's something that you do well. And we're all glad that you do and can. Let's pray. I do want us to have, say you can just close out in a prayer or can have an invitation. What I would like to do is have a song where again, people come from all different parts of life, and for you to end up sitting in here this morning is not an accident. There's so many different things you could be doing than sitting in church this morning. So there's a reason you're here. If you've come and all this God stuff's just kind of fuzzy and it's like the Ten Commandments thing, it's just too much to take in, focus on this one thing. And as Jeanette plays, what I'd like for you to do is this. I'm not going to try to manipulate you, get you to do anything here. I do want you to do things at your home that we talked about, these things. But here, you may have come and realized, we mentioned in the service that an angry God can forgive, angry parents, angry children. It may have startled you that we put an angry God in there. God is angry over our sin. That's the way it is. But he has also dealt with that, dealt with our sin, and offers forgiveness to us. And if all you can look at is see the angry God, because you know you're that incessant sinner, just like the rest of us are, and you say, how could God have a place for me? It's because he started this whole thing. He's not thrown off by your incessant sin. He doesn't want to write you off because of your incessant sin or the depth of your sin. He wants to take the initiative and lead the way in offering that forgiveness to you so that you can have that sweetest moment of the day in your life with God. You can end this day forgiven. That's what he wants to do. And it's what he has done through Jesus Christ. He's taken care of all of that. Talked about smoke screens earlier in our message. Sometimes the big smoke screen in our life and coming to God is we think, here's the smoke screen, we think my sin's so dark, so black, so incessant, and I'm so weak to make any change, I cannot really have a place of sonship or daughtership with God. That is a smoke screen. It is alive. And God will totally that away for you. Allow him to forgive you. To draw you in to some very sweet places with him this morning. If you don't understand what all that means or how to go about that, Jim's here, Bill's here, I'm here. We can help walk you through that in a more understandable way for you than can take place here in 30 seconds. Again, we'll just go ahead and play. We'll have one song. If you want to act on that, then you can just come to the front and visit with us for a minute. The rest of you can stay seated. Think about what we've talked about.